Amen. Glory to God. This is our help. This is our answer. You know, we don't exalt men in the sense, you know, we show honor towards men and we have respect in things, but we don't exalt men. We exalt the plan. We exalt God and His purposes in the Word. But just think about it. That woman with the one meal left there in 1 Kings 17. It was a visitation from God that changed her life. But how did the visitation from God come? Through a man. Amen. Yeah. One encounter with a God-filled man who had God-filled words changed her world. Praise God. I can tell you time and time again of services, of encounters I've had with ministers or services or, you know, mostly my own pastor, you know, that just words from him, services from him that were exactly what I needed to hear that changed the course of my life. Praise God. And so that's what I'm expecting tonight. That's what I expect every night we show up, because we have Jesus here. We have the Word. We have the opportunity for power and change. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. I am not 100% sure yet if this is a standalone message or a single message, but I know what I'm supposed to share tonight. Amen. So I'm going to share it tonight. Praise God. Acts 10:38. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we need you. I don't have natural words or plans or ideas that could change anybody's life, Father. But I know if I speak as the oracles of God, power will come forth and lives will be changed, Father. And that's how you did things on the earth. Father, you used people. And so, Father, I count that as an honor, and it's humbling. And Father, I just want to get it right. That's my main thing tonight, is just help me to get it right. I whatever good comes out of me, we know it wasn't from me anyways. And so I'm not looking for any glory or credit because, again, I don't have much natural education. There's not a whole lot naturally I have to add to the world of any value, but the anointing in the Word of God can change our whole world. And so, Father, help us tonight. May I say things that you'd want me to say, things straight from heaven, with utterance and boldness, Father, hitting bullseyes in people's hearts tonight to change their life. And, Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, tonight I'm going to give you a title right off the bat. I normally don't do that, but it's just the way I'm led to do it. And tonight's title of tonight's message is going to be, and you'll find this on live stream, Faith for Healing. Amen. Now, here's the thing. You might be sitting there and think, I don't need faith for healing. I don't need healing right now. Well, that's okay. You might someday. But also, you know, the way you get faith for healing and the way you use faith for healing is the same way you use faith for finances. Yeah, sure. Same way you use faith to be delivered. Faith for your children. And so, you know, when you say that, don't turn it off. I don't need that, because healing is something you better be prepared on, because if sickness and disease comes, it can really rock you. But Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. So God gave him a gift, an anointing, a mantle, and he went about with that gift doing good. And notice one of the things that happened from that anointing was that he healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Praise God. Jesus was the visible representation of God on the earth. If you're ever confused at who God is, it's really simple. Just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus' 3.5 years on the earth. That was God showing off, right? That was God in the flesh, praise God. And the Bible says that God anointed Jesus, and Jesus went about with that anointing, healing people. And so what do we know from that verse? That God is for healing. God wants people healed. All throughout the Bible times, we see God as declaring he's a healer, God healing people in their body. Jesus' ministry, you know, the three things that he did was he preached, he taught, and he healed. Preached, taught, and he healed. And so we know that God is for healing. And there's two reasons, really, that God is for healing. Number one is you're his child. I don't know about you, but I never enjoy my children being sick. Amen, Pastor Mike. Me neither. Let me help you out there, just to get a little help. Crickets here tonight. A lot of crickets have come in. I thought all the crickets were hibernating right now, but nope, they've come into the service tonight. But anyways, you don't like when your kids are sick. You don't like seeing them sick. That's the last thing you want to see is your children sick. Well, God's no different. He's actually more loving and better. But also this, we're the body of Christ. You know, many Christians don't have that revelation, and then, you know, they're just you know, my dad, you know, he had a stroke. After he had a stroke, he's with Jesus now. He's completely whole in mind and body. But his left arm pretty much became just useless. It was the left side of his body just kind of was there, got in the way, really couldn't use it very much. And it was a part of the body, you know, but it was really kind of useless for him. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're just really kind of useless. Now, so that's kind of mean. I don't mean you're not worth anything. I say we're the body of Christ. See, it's you know, my dad's arm, you know, had it done stuff, wouldn't be called useless. You know, he's glad he had it, you know, but it was useless. And that's what I mean when I say a lot of the body of Christ is useless. People aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, the works of Jesus. Like, I don't know if you know this or not, but your life just isn't about you and your 80 years you get, or 90 years, or 70 years, or however many years you live on earth. Like, that's a sad existence. When you're not doing anything for the kingdom, not doing anything for God, and it's all you're cared about is your money, your stuff, your things. What a worthless and lowly existence. Yes. Amen? And that's not what your purpose is for here on the earth. You're the body of Christ. Well, what did Jesus do on the earth? It wasn't about him. It wasn't about what can I get? What can I do about my life? No, he said, I came to serve, praise God. And so one of the reasons, the main reasons he's into healing is because a sick body can't do very much. A sick body is limited. A sick body's hindered. You know, my dad was a vibrant, strong man who would go, I'd go to the gym with him and he'd lift weights and I'd play basketball with him, and he had a business, a catering business and a restaurant, and he catered huge weddings, and I was the one stuck peeling the potatoes and the eggs. Gosh, if I'd never have to peel a potato or an egg again the rest of my life, it'll be too soon. And he did all these things, this big, strong man, and then the sickness came into his body, and it severely limited what he was able to do. And when the body of Christ is sick, the body of Christ is meant to go. The body of Christ is meant to do, praise God. And when the body of Christ is sick, it limits us. And I don't know about you, but when I went through my 2 years of hell on earth in my body, the sickness in my body, and someday I'll get into some of these things of why I believe and what Lord has shown me in my own private time of prayer and stuff, you know, concerning some things in the future and stuff like that, and just the enemy's tactics. But regardless of why all that was, for 2 years, when you're sick in body, and it's constant pain, and it messes with every area of your life. Messes with your sleep, messes with your appetite, messes with eating, messes with your mood, your emotions. You know, it's no fun. And so healing is something that is for us, and God wants us to have, but we need to find out how. And in John chapter 5 and verse 1, faith for healing tonight, praise God. John 5 and verse 1. You know what's amazing is that minister in Elijah, in the form of Elijah in 1 Kings 17, that woman needed a word from heaven.
That's right.
She got a word from heaven of what to do, and it changed her life. Let me tell you something. Like I said, this will work for finances. It will work for anything. I'm led specifically to talk about healing. But for the sick person, this is the equivalent of Elijah showing up to you as a widow woman, to the widow woman, and saying, I have your answer out of that poverty. It's literally the equivalent of a man of God showing up to the sick person saying, I have your answer out of that.
Yes.
It's the truth. Praise God.
Praise God.
And I want you to understand that and recognize that so you're ready. But in John chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now at Jerusalem there was by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. So there's this pool there. And in these porches, there lay a great multitude of impotent folks, blind, halt, withering, waiting for the moving of the water. So there's a bunch of sick people around this pool, and they're waiting for what the Bible calls the moving or the troubling of the water. For an angel would go down, verse 4, at a certain season into the pool and trouble or stir the water. Whosoever then first after troubling the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. Now, as we go further in the New Testament, we know what this was a manifestation was. It was a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit,
yes.
Gifts of healing, or you could even say working of miracles in some of these cases. But then in verse 5 it said, there was a certain man that was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. He was sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been there now a long time in that case. And he said to him, will you be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? And the impotent man answered him and said, I don't have a man when the water troubles is troubled to put me in the pool, but I am coming. But while I'm headed down there, another one gets in before me. As you say, my condition doesn't allow me to get in there first. And remember, it was just the first that got in there. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. Now we hear stories like this, and we see stories like this, and we get excited about this because, wow, a man 38 years, and we should get excited about this, and we should celebrate this. But here's what you have to understand. If you don't recognize this, you won't know the direction you need to go in your own life. You'll be sitting around on your hands waiting for something.
Yeah.
This was few and far between of what even happened in Jesus' own ministry.
That's right.
The majority of Jesus' interactions with sick people that resulted in healing was not one like this.
Come on. Yeah.
How do we know? Well, we read and we see that in the majority of the cases, Jesus said something to the extent of, your faith did this.
Yeah.
Now, I had a situation like this, but I'm here to tell you, in all the years of ministry, all years I did youth group, years I did, you know, pastored this church, pastored South Dayton, been around it. This happens so little. What am I talking about? The instantaneous miracles. Well, Brother Hagin, I don't know if he said it or a minister had preached it and he repeated it, but he was saying that the gifts of the Spirit weren't meant for the church. They weren't meant for the body of Christ to receive these things. They were meant for the people outside the walls to bring them in to the church. What I'm talking about, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, things like that. You know, we do see them in a measure in the churches, but the instantaneous miracles and healings, there's not a whole lot of that. I was in youth group years ago, driving around. I've told this story before, and people get excited about this story, and I'll tell you why people get excited about this story. And I was driving around and praying for the Friday night service, and all of a sudden, I just saw the service unfold at the end. I saw myself doing something I never did before, which sticking my index fingers in somebody's ears, pulling them out and saying, be healed in Jesus' name. Well, I saw that and didn't necessarily know if it would be that night, but I knew it was going to be in a service. So I get to service that night, and we had a lot less of a crowd that night because there was a school function going on that many of the kids could not miss, were not allowed to miss. And so there was a lot less kids there, and there was one brand new person that was never there before. And so I get done preaching, and I'm ready to tell people about Jesus and give people the opportunity to receive him. And as I'm out loud saying the salvation call, I'm in my spirit being talked to by the Lord and shown what I saw in my vehicle earlier that day, that that was for that service, that that was going to be carried out in that service. And so I'm given a salvation call, and I'm having a conversation with myself in my head and talking, and my spirit's it's just a whole lot going on there, and I'm fighting it, saying, you know what, when you're a youth group leader, you know every single thing that's wrong with these kids. I mean, they make sure to let you know. And does it, no one has a hearing problem here. And this new girl, even if she does have a hearing problem, she's not going to respond to it, being new and might be shy and things, you know. And, you know, let me tell you something. Let me just go off a little rabbit trail here. When God calls something out in a service, don't sit there and wonder if it's for me. If what I just said pertains to you, guess who it was for? It was for you. I've had so many services. I just had a service recently. I called something out specifically in South Dayton last Sunday, and one person came up for it, and we already turned off live stream. It was a specific thing. One person came up for it, and my spirit said, that's not it. Well, I get a text the next day from someone saying, were you talking about me? I said, well, did what I say pertain to you? And they said, yes. Yeah. I said, yeah, pertain to you. God's trying to help you, you know? And so don't let shyness pull you away from the anointing. My goodness. And so I'm thinking in my head, this girl, if it's her, she's not coming up. Or maybe I just had too much Cheerios or sugar. You know, when you say, well, Cheerios are good for you. Not the way I eat them. I like it so when you're eating it, you kind of scrape the bottom of the bowl, and there comes like this little, well, a lot of sugar on each bite. You know, that's the way I like my Cheerios. So I thought, man, I just had too many Cheerios, you know. And but it just kept nagging me. I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm not going to be able to sleep if I call this out. And so I did. I called it out. I said, all right, who's here struggling with a hearing problem? Huh, I mean, I was shocked, you know. Oh, you have little faith. The new girl stood up and told me, and she had to get real close. She had a major percentage of hearing loss, a different amount in each ear, but it was significant. And I looking back on it, I wonder why they had her sitting so close. Usually, like newer people, they want to be way in the back, you know, and not right up. But she was right up front. Well, now I know why. And anyway, so I said, okay, I'm going to obey God. So I called her up. I said, because I don't want her to punch me, you know. I said, this is what I saw myself doing. I got to obey God. I said, I saw myself jamming my, this is the way you talk in youth group. You don't just say sticking, you say jamming my fingers in your ears and saying, be healed in Jesus' name. Is that okay if I do that? And she said, yes. Well, I did. I stuck my fingers in her ears. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Pulled them out. And she started weeping. And, I mean, the blubbering kind of cries that you can't catch your breath. You know, I think they call those ugly cries. She got the ugly cry going. Oh, Lord, I popped her eardrum. I hurt her because she's going on and on. I said, what is the matter? She started shouting, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear. God had supernaturally, actually, she dropped her knees and did that. Dropped her knees, started crying and screaming, I can hear, raising her hand, I can hear. And so that happened instantaneously. And we hear that story. And we get so excited about that story. And one of the reasons we get excited is it's good and well because we're glad for her. Yeah. It's moving when that happens to people. But you know why else we like it? Because we think, I want that to happen to me. If that instantaneous can happen to her, I want that for me. Tell me how to get the instantaneous, Pastor Mike. Well, the problem is I can't tell you how to get the instantaneous. Because that was the gift of the Spirit that night. It's called a gift. And the Bible calls it as the Lord wills it. I didn't do anything. She didn't do anything except show up, and she did respond, and that had an act of faith with it. But the majority of that was just God's goodness reaching out to somebody. Yes. Yes. Now, you know what's amazing? And I know later on, not only for God's mercy to do that for her, she also got filled with the Holy Ghost that night, and we never saw her ever again. Why? Her parents, she went home and told her parents she got healed, and they said, you are never going to that church ever again. I thought, what in the world? You think that doesn't make sense? Well, Jesus would heal people, and they tried to kill him for doing it, right? He healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day, and they were so mad about it instead of thankful and happy about it. But that's what religion will do. So anyways, I want that instantaneous. Well, I've not seen that a lot. Brother Hagin would talk about not seeing that a lot with Christians. And why? Because there's a better way for us. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Praise the Lord. It says that you not be slothful. That's a slothful mentality. Yeah. The quick fix. Yeah. You know why? I'll just say it because I never said it like this before. But you know why a lot of people don't receive the blessings of God? Because they're slothful. What does that mean, to be lazy, lethargic? You're lazy. I'm not saying you. I'm just speaking as you know, generally. Don't call me lazy. I'm not lazy. You don't see what I do. I'm just, most people are lazy and lethargic spiritually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But they want the end result.
Yeah.
And he says, you can't be slothful, but follow them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Faith and patience are not some, it's a good fight, but it's not some easy natural journey on your mind and your flesh. It's a fight, it's a battle, it's a press, it's a reaching.
Yes.
Paul said, I press, I reach. That's not slothfulness. What's he saying? I got to press through some things to get there. I got to reach for some things. Why? Because they're not just falling in my lap. See, that healing fell in that girl's lap. And that's why we like it so much, because we want that to happen to us. But what is that called? Slothfulness, laziness spiritually, because the way that our promises are going to come is through faith and patience, and faith and patience take some doing on our part. We have to do some things. Praise God. Go to Acts 14 and verse 1. Acts 14 and verse 1. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm getting parched up here. Better get a drink for my parchedness. And don't look at me when I drink. It'll embarrass me. I mean, does that not look fancy? Straight from the islands. Fiji water. I mean, we're drinking high class here tonight. Praise God. So if the preaching's good, we're gonna blame the Fiji. Hallelujah. It says, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. This is Paul and Barnabas now. And they spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So they spoke the gospel, people got saved, Jews and Gentiles. It says, but the unbelieving Jews, the ones that didn't believe in Jesus, they stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. So the unbelieving Jews didn't believe in Jesus. They're talking in the Gentiles' ears, stirring them up against Paul and Barnabas. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly of the Lord. So they stood there a long time, speaking of the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs, wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So some agreed with the Jews that were saying they're no good, they're wrong, and some agreed with what the apostles were doing, which we know was the right way. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they became aware of it. So there was a plan to stone Paul and Barnabas. They became aware of it, fled unto Lystra and Derbe and cities of Lycaonia and into the region that lieth round about. So they got wind of this. There's going to be a stoning. They got out of there, went to other cities that would receive them. And look what it says. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat, where they preached the gospel, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who Paul steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand right up on your feet," and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." So they see this guy get healed miraculously. They're now calling Paul and Barnabas gods. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now, I don't study Greek mythology, so I'm not aware of these people, but that's who they were calling them. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before in the city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, heard of, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why are you doing these things? Why are you calling us gods? Why are you trying to make a sacrifice to us as gods? We are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities of the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that there are in." Now, here's what I want to say. We're going to look at this verses tonight. And I'm going to tell you, these types of things, when I was going through the impossible, incurable, chronic condition in my body, were lifesavers to me. They will be lifesavers to you. Hallelujah. But look at back in verse 8. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, and had never walked. Why am I stressing that to you? This situation was dire as can be. Without being a near-death situation, here's a man that's never experienced walking before. Something you and I can't relate with.
That's right. Come on.
Right? We can walk. We've not been crippled from our mother's womb. We're not talking about a headache here.
Come on.
We're not talking about the flu. Now, all sickness is of the devil, you know, and it's all healing belongs to all of it, but we're not talking about a hangnail here. You know, a broken arm that can naturally heal over time. Amen? A sore back and do some therapy and things like that. No. We're talking about the dire of the dire situations in a person. All his life, not being able to walk. Can you imagine the thoughts? Can you imagine the stronghold of just accepting and believing that's the way I'm going to be forever? Come on. It's true. But look at this, and this should help you. Because What you're going to find here is that this was not a Pool of Bethesda moment. What happened at the Pool of Bethesda? That man that could not get in the water was so lucky that there was a gift of the Spirit in operation that day. And when a gift of the Spirit's in operation, we just have to say, praise God for that happening, but we can't turn it on. We can't try to duplicate it. We can't try to replicate it. We can't just try to keep making these happen either, as the Lord wills. If we could, every one of us would go into every hospital room and work a gift of the Spirit and raise every sick person up, get everybody out of a wheelchair, get everybody off crutches. All the blind people would see, all the deaf people would hear, if we could just do that. But we can't. And so if it's just about a gift of the Spirit, then we are in trouble. But this situation here, as dire as it was, did not turn out the way it did because a gift of the Spirit manifested. How do we know? Well, the Bible says in verse 8, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, this is talking about Paul beholding him, Paul looked at him. And he said, and he perceived, Paul had an understanding, a perception, whether the Holy Ghost revealed it to him, whatever, that he, the man, had faith to be healed. This man, Paul recognized and was able to minister to. I'm not saying Paul didn't have an anointing, but even with the anointing, Jesus had an anointing, and when faith wasn't present, it didn't matter that the anointing was there. Look at this situation. We know the rest of the story. He leaped and praised God, and people were excited, so much so they started calling Paul and Barnabas gods. This is amazing. But look at this. This man's faith changed his life. Your situation might not be a dire physical situation. You might be in a dire financial situation. You might be in a dire whatever, in your job situation, in a family situation, right? With people that are coming against you, and it's dire. But look at what your own faith can do. Paul didn't say, my faith can get him healed. Jesus' faith can get him healed. He said, this man has faith to be healed from this. And that's what turned this situation around. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23 says, all things, see, it's not just healing. All things are possible to him. Not the preacher's faith, not Jesus' faith. Not the church's faith. All things for your own life. See, healing belonged to this man. Well, guess what? Healing belongs to you. Prosperity belongs to you. It does. Peace, joy, favor, protection. These things belong to you. And because they belong to you, how do we receive what belongs to us, the promises of God? Through faith and patience. This man's faith, Jesus, and Paul put it out, he has faith to be healed. Doesn't matter what his wife's faith is. Doesn't matter what his son's faith is. Now, we can help people and pray and join our faith. Amen. But Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire. Man, if we could push our desires off on everybody else, again, we'd heal everybody, we'd set everybody free, we'd help everybody get out of fear and torment and the life they're living in. But Jesus said, if you, the person, can believe it, all things can come your way. Are you aware and have a revelation of what your own faith can do in your life? We think this was amazing. That it was that Paul was there. No, Paul said, your faith. We think it's amazing with the woman with the issue of blood. That was because of Jesus. No, Jesus said, your faith did this. Hallelujah. Look what your personal faith can do. Go to Matthew 9 and verse 27. Matthew 9, 27. You can wait around for the Pastor Mike to jam his fingers in your ear, to be led that way. You can wait around for someone to spit in the mud and stir it up and rub it on your eyes like Jesus did, another gift of spirit. You can wait around for the Lord to tell Pastor Mike to tell you, go dip in the Allegheny River. Say, well, that's what they told the one man, go dip, not the Allegheny, but, right? Go dip in the river. You can wait around for that, and your day may never come. Your ship may never come in. But faith always is ready to take it now. Praise God. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. And when Jesus departed there, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Son of David, mercy on us. And when he would come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe or do you have faith that I can do this? They said to him, yeah, Lord. They declared their faith. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knows it. But go back to verse 29. According to your faith, be it done unto you. So Jesus was able to minister healing to them because their faith allowed him to do it. I want to ask you a question. I don't know if I've ever posed this question before. Is your faith giving God permission to do what he needs and wants to do? He needs your permission. What's your permission? Faith. Because Jesus said, only because your faith was here. And Paul was saying, he's got faith to be healed. He can get healed now. Notice the guy's laying there, but he doesn't get healed until Paul perceives he's got the faith to be healed for it. Amen. Does your faith give God permission or hinder him from doing? Because if they would have said, I don't know, Jesus, what would he have said? Can't help you. Hallelujah. Is your faith at the place where God can do something for you? Mark 6 and verse 1. We know these scriptures. Mark 6 and verse 1. He went from there. Now remember where he's coming from, miracles, signs, and wonders. You can look at him. He went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues. Now notice this. Don't miss this point. He began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where does this man have these things? What wisdom is it given to him that he's worked such mighty works wrought with his hands? He's just the carpenter, son of Mary, brother James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. Are not his sisters here with us? They were offended at him. Well, you could say it this way, really. They didn't want to hear him. They didn't want to take heed to what he was saying. Why? He's just the carpenter. He's just one of us. And they didn't want to hear it. And the Bible says, but Jesus said in verse 4, a prophet's not without honor, but his own country, among his own kin, his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he lay his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So only a few people got something. And look what it says. He marveled because of their unbelief. You see that there? Their unbelief handcuffed God. Or you could say it this way. God needed their permission through their faith to do something mighty. And their faith wasn't at the place to give God permission. And he didn't do anything. Or well, he did a little bit, but not very much. Well, you could say it this way. They weren't ready to receive what God wanted to give them. God is always saying what? My promises are yes and amen. All my promises are yes and amen. All my promises are yes and amen. Someone had emailed me, and I will get back to you. I just had just recently got it. But the answer of what you emailed me and asked me, if God has promised you that whatever it is you're emailing me about, it's yours. His answer is yes and amen. Amen. Faith and patience. Now the answer is what? Get to where you're at to be able to receive that. Become ready to receive that thing. See, because people say, well, if it's a promise from God, is it about timing? Is it not about timing? Listen, God is not withholding your healing. He's not withholding your financial blessing. He already said they're yours. Right. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so anyways, they weren't ready to receive their miracle. So what did Jesus do? He had to go back to get and try to get them ready. How did he go back to try to get them ready? The end of verse 6. He went round about the villages teaching. You see that there? They weren't ready. Now, how does this coincide with Acts 14? Go back to Acts 14 and verse 7. So Acts 14, 7. So what was the answer when Jesus said, "You're not ready to receive a miracle"? Jesus said, "I need to talk more to you to get you ready." Well, in Acts 14, 7, how did the man get ready or be in a place where his faith gave God permission to move? Acts 14, 7 says, and they were aware of it, they fled unto Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the regions that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel, speaking the word. And there, where? Where they're preaching the gospel, the word of God, the good news. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. How was he getting ready for his miracle? He was hearing the word. How did Jesus say to Mark, to people in Mark chapter 6, "I need to get you ready"? You need to hear more word. That's what he said to him. Praise God. I love it. And then if you go drop down to verse, down in verse 15, when they were saying, we've got to make a sacrifice. These guys are like gods. Paul said, "Sirs, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like passions." What's he saying? We're just human beings. When people get blessed under my ministry, it's not because Mike Anderson the man, but what Mike Anderson the man delivers is the life-changing power. Paul's saying, "I'm just a man." But what did he say? "I preach unto you." He said, "I'm delivering to you what can change your life." What's he giving credit to the man's healing? The word of God. And what was the guy doing? Sitting there hearing it. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now you can just go there real quick. I'm going to read some verses to you. Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues." What's he doing? Sharing the word. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What's he doing? Sharing the word. And then look at the result. "And healing all manner of sickness and manner of disease among the people." Matthew 9:35. Notice the order. Teaching, preaching, healing. Teaching, preaching, healing. When there wasn't the healing in Mark chapter 6, what did Jesus do? Go back to the basics. Teaching and preaching. Matthew 9:35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. Just two more real quick. "But so much the more," Luke 5:15, "there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities." Hear and be healed. Do you see it? Hear and be healed. Luke 6:17, "And he came down with them and stood in the plains, in the company of the disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea, coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed." Yep. Came to hear him and to be healed. Praise God. Hear him and be healed. What did hearing him become the equivalent of? The healing. Yes. Amen. If I can get them to hear, I can get them to be healed.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Why? Well, Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, And Paul said, the man, I perceive, has faith to be healed. So evidently, there was something needed from the man to get past the problem he was in, faith for the power of God to move. And the way he got it was how? He sat and heard. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus can't do anything there. He marvels at their unbelief. He says, they're not in belief. Well, Jesus wants to fix the problem of why they can't receive. So what's his answer to fix the problem? Goes about all the cities and villages, teaching and preaching. Just goes right back around and do it again. Because I know if I can get them here, and eventually they'll get faith for it. Praise God. Go to Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Get ready for your toes to be stepped on. At least I warned you. Take off your flip-flops. Put your steel toes on. Hope you brought extra shoes with you. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. You know why we like the pool of Bethesda and Pastor Mike sticking his ears and youth group kids' ears and they're getting healed instantly? Because it's easy. It's a quick fix. But the Bible says, my son, attend to my words. What's that mean? Have good attendance to the Bible. I'm sorry to tell you, if this is your only attendance to the Word each week, you have terrible Bible attendance. And it will show up in the lack of the move of God in your life. Why? Look what it says. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What's that mean? You have to turn your ears away from other things towards the Word. That's what it's saying. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Well, what's that do for us? Well, only this. Let them not depart from your eyes. What's he saying? Got to turn your eyes. You know what turning your ears and eyes, what it means? It's talking about not being distracted. See, we fill our lives with all these useless distractions that tickle our flesh and ease our mind. And our mind and our flesh feel good about it. And then there's no battle going on there, nothing in our flesh, nothing in our mind. You know, like Pastor Michael says, watching hours and hours of Netflix, not doing anything spiritual all the time, just, you know, going about your daily life, right? Nothing of those things can turn into what this can turn into for you. He says, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, verse 22. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. How does the Word turn into health to your flesh? Because the Word turns into faith. Faith turns into receiving. That's what that guy did. He heard Paul speak. It turned into faith. See, when sickness and disease come, we want the Hail Mary of the gift of the Spirit. Oh, I hope the minister with the anointing calls my problem out, and I hope there's an instantaneous healing. And we just go year after year and don't get it. When the whole time, the promises of God are available, but they're obtained or acquired through the force of faith. But you see, faith doesn't come automatically. Faith cometh by you doing what? Attending. Looking onto the Word. That's called putting aside distractions. But see, people don't want that bad enough. I was talking to the Durants, and you know, they were in Brother Hagin's ministry, and they go back to Rhema at times to visit people, and they were talking about a woman that had worked in the tape and publication department for years, and she's getting close to, I think she could have retired, or she was getting ready to retire. And she said, you know, Brother Kevin, Sister Annie, she said, you know, Rhema really wasted I really didn't get much use out of my health insurance. And she said something stupid about not being at the doctor for some stupid amount of years. I don't know if it was over 20 years that she had worked there, that she had said, I've never had to use my insurance. I've never gone to the doctor. Well, that's not normal. Right. And they looked at her son. She said, oh, it's easy. I'll tell you what it is. She says, all day long, all I do all day long, I'm the person responsible to edit Brother Hagin's tapes and put them in books. She says, the Word of God is literally before my ears and eyes nonstop for 8 hours, 8, 10 hours a day. Now, you think, I don't have time for that. Well, nobody said that's the kind of time it takes. right? Nobody's saying quit your life. God's not saying that. But what I am saying is the power of what the Word can do. And He said, if you'll keep it ever before you, it'll turn into life and health to your flesh. Matthew 14:34, and we'll close with this. Matthew 14:34. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Praise God. We want the quick fix, but if you'll take the time to hear, you can get it by faith. I'll just tell you this. Faith is a sure bet. Waiting for a gift of the Spirit, that's playing lottery with your life. Why? Because I don't know if I can't tell you when that's going to happen, if it ever will. But that's what we like. Why? Because we're that drive-through society that just, I want it, you know, quick. I just get it quick and easy. And what did I say? Matthew 14:34 said, and when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. Notice this. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him. Notice this. They didn't act until they first had knowledge of him. Yeah. Notice the order. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought him all that were diseased. What's he saying? We can't bring them without the hearing first. They got to hear. Because why? Hearing leads to faith. Jesus showing up, Mark chapter 6 should tell you that Jesus showing up was not an automatic blessing.
That's right.
Many people went without, and Jesus showed up in Mark chapter 6. Yeah. Why? They didn't bring faith with them. And they're saying, Jesus is in a certain place, but we can't bring everybody to him until they first hear some things.
Yeah.
And how many times people are just coming up for prayer year after year. For the same exact things, just wanting the magic wand and fairy dust of God to touch them and heal their body. I heard one minister when I was at Rhema say this. He said he got frustrated seeing how many people in healing lines would walk away sick and never change. And the Lord had to teach him. When the minister lays hands and releases faith, the majority of the time there won't be an instantaneous change. I mean, do you pray and believe God for money and check your M&T bank account in 5 minutes and change, the number's different? No. There's a manifestation. There's a pressing forth. There's a faith. There's an endurance there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he said, I was frustrated seeing it. Well, why aren't you seeing even results that turn out? Because when people come up, they're just thinking, Pastor Mike's anointing, Brother Hagin's anointing, Pastor Michael's anointing, not realizing you can get this yourself. And I always say this, you know, if you're standing in faith and you believe God for something, let's say you have a heart condition, and all of a sudden the service, I say, oh, I have it on my heart, call out heart conditions. And you say, well, I'm believing God, it would be out of faith to go up. No, in that case, it's not. Because you're coming up to also have the anointing added with, it's not, you're not saying, I don't believe, I've already received it. That might be how you actually get the flip over into the manifestation. Amen? Some people, they get something called out, they think, No, I'm not. You know, now if it's already been prayed for,
yeah,
and the anointing is released. Now, if you didn't grab it by faith, come up and get it by faith. But if you already prayed for it, yeah, I would. I don't need to go up several times. But if I've already released by faith and believe in it, and then there's also an anointing to be added to it, I'll take it. Praise God, I'll take it. But notice, when the men of that place had acknowledged him, they sent out into that country round about and brought to him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made whole. But what was the first step? Getting knowledge of him.
Yeah.
The hearing. The hearing equals the faith. No hearing, no having. And if you think you're just going to get your faith after one message, you're sorely mistaken, because there's a devil. And he's going to pump things into you and tell you how sick you are, how it's not going to change. And if you think one message, I've had strongholds before and have heard a message and I've weeped after that message. And you know what? It wasn't 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, I was getting whooped in my mind. It wasn't until the hearing, till the faith rose up and drove those things out. And then I was in a position to receive what God had for me.
Hallelujah.
Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, hear and be healed. That's the order. That's what we need to do. We can't be looking at drive-through society mentality of just just get it just because, you know, and get it quick. No, there's a process, not because you're holding back the healing, but because there's an enemy who's pushing against it, who's fighting. There's life, there's doubt, there's unbelief, there's things that we got to break through into that faith realm where we get to the place where we're convinced that it doesn't matter what we feel, it doesn't matter what we see, it doesn't matter what the doctor's report says, where we're more convinced. That's what faith is, being more convinced in what he has said than what you can feel and what you can see. That's when you know you're in faith. And the only way to get to that place is through the hearing of the word. It's the only way faith comes. And until we get to that place, we're fooling ourselves to think we're going to receive from you, Father. That's why you did it that way. That's why you went around and taught and preached first, because you knew there had to be an order of faith. Faith was required, but faith never comes without the hearing of the word. So, Father, thank you for helping us tonight. Come on and worship him for his help. We need to be thankful to him. Praise God. Praise God. We love you, Lord. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads, please, and to close their eyes, nobody looking around. I'd like everybody here and also online right now, or if you're watching in the future, whenever you watch this, to ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I don't wonder, I don't hope, I know for sure. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. How do you know? Because I did exactly what the Bible told me I needed to do to go there. And that was what? Believe in Jesus and receive him. If you're here tonight and you're not sure, if you're watching, you're not sure, say, I don't know that I go to heaven. I think I've been a good person. I've even gone to church at times. I even believe in God. I'm here to tell you, going to church and being a good person, those are good things. And believing in God's a good thing, but they can't get you into heaven. The devil believes in God. He's not going to heaven. And you might say, well, I haven't gone to church enough. I know I can't get to heaven, or I've not been a good person. Well, that stuff can't keep you out either. John 3:16 says, if you'll believe in Jesus, when you believe in your heart, the Bible says your mouth will follow and you'll call those things forth. So if you're here tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward. Stand up or say anything on your own. Would you just lift your hand high in there if you've never received Jesus and you want to know that you're going to heaven? Don't let this moment pass you by. Is there anybody at all in this service that wants to receive Jesus before we close? Father, I don't see any hands in here, but if there's someone watching online right now or in the future, I want to speak to you right now and address you. If you're there, it's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. It's the believing in your heart and the confession with your mouth. And if that's you online, you say, I do believe in Jesus. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I don't know if I would go to heaven if today were my last day. Let's make this something that's an assurance in your life. When you get done with this message, just get on your knees and cry out to him. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that, he'll save you. He'll help you. Romans 10 and verse 9. Don't forget that verse. Romans 10 and verse 9 is the outline to what I just gave you of how to be saved. Because your mind will tell you, it can't be that easy. It can't be that. I thought you had to do religious cartwheels and jump through religious hoops. No. Romans 10, 9 is the outline. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. If you'll do that, he'll save you. He'll bless you, become a father unto you, he'll forgive you. And just send me an email or give me a phone call and let me know you prayed that, and I'll help you with your next step because he loves you so much. He didn't want your life to just be great, you know, down the road when you die. He wants to start blessing you right now. Can we just worship him and thank him before we close tonight? Hallelujah. Father, we praise and glorify you. We're just so grateful for the word. It's just good, sound, wholesome teaching to help us. If our faith isn't where it needs to be, if we have doubt, the thing that'll drive that out is the hearing of the word. So we thank you for our help tonight. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now before you leave, reminder, as you leave, please put your tithe and offering in the bucket. It's 7:15. At 7:20, we're going to come back here and pray. If you can't stay to pray, there's no judgment, no condemnation. I just know that I have to be faithful to do this, that corporate prayer is something that we need to start doing. If you could stay for 5 minutes, great. If you can stay for 1 minute, great. If you can stay for the whole time, whatever you do. But if you can't stay at all, please be praying on your own. But love you, appreciate you. Don't forget Wednesday night in South Dayton. If I don't see you there, I'll see you next Saturday. You are dismissed, and we'll start praying at 7:20. Praise God.